Yes, hello, Dan Owen here. Very nice, very evil, very famous. And I am here to say hello and introduce you to the Wrestling podcast of some sort. It is very nice, very evil, I am told. So listen to it, decide for yourself, or be cursed.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Choco Cast, your little bit of audible happiness here on the Wrestle In Network. Be sure to subscribe for more from us, as well as a host of other shows like On the Indies, Ocean Cyclone Show, Ace Techers, All Elite Listing, and Total Nonstop Talking. And sign up to our Patreon for as little as $1 a month and get early access to the shows and interviews, as well as exclusive content, both video and audio. You can find all that at patreon.com/WrestleIn. And here we are. It's 2024. We've made it to another year. My name is Trent, your host, as always. And joining me, as always, he has not left the window for a new year. You can see him in the most recent shows in the window, is Jeff. How are you going? How is 2024 treating you so far?
Hey, not so bad. Just honestly, like, it's just been really crazy for the last, like, what, 3 weeks or so. The whole Christmas period going into the New Year's period. Into the wrestling bonanza that is, you know, that entire week and week and a half around Wrestle Kingdom. And then, like, it just so happened that there was a lot of Gato Move stuff and others going on, like, even into the 10th and all the way up through last week, right? So, like, it feels like things only finally settled down for me, like, literally a day or two ago. So it's been really, really busy and a lot of fun. But at the same time, it's like, whew, okay, time to get caught back up on work. You know, I've been working, but like a little bit less intensity, you know, and get refocused in and get back to, I guess, a sense of normalcy as many of the tourists are leaving. And so, yeah, I'm feeling like it's back to normal life finally as of a couple days ago.
How many
shows right into work stuff, because now I've got a super busy week. Actually, well, tomorrow is still wrestling stuff, but I've got work stuff in Yokosuka tomorrow. Then I go to Okinawa on the 19th for my event on there on the 20th. Then I'm in Sasebo for an event on the 25th. So, like, it's going to be a hectic work week this next week and a half. But yeah, so
you basically swapped one busyness for another there.
Yeah, basically, yeah, from wrestling busyness to work busyness. Not gonna lie, I prefer the wrestling busyness, but I am not I'm not independently wealthy, so happens to be more important.
If everyone joins patreon.com/wrestleIn, we might be able to make Jeff a little bit more independently wealthy.
Yeah, at least livably wealthy. At least you know. That would be great. No, but yeah, so it's been fun. But yeah, ready to buckle down and get my work stuff done. And, you know, it seems like it's going to be a relatively quiet month at least for me. It's like good, because I was like, yeah, I do not have the money to go to any more wrestling this month. You know what I mean? Like, I am done. I'm beyond done. So yeah, we'll see.
To paint a picture for people who aren't able to go over there or live in Japan around the Wrestle Kingdom period, for you, what shows did you go to? Like, obviously, we know you went to the Gato Move and the Choco Pro shows because we could see you. But did you go to much else during that period?
Yeah, actually. Man, geez. Actually, it's funny because I don't know if you guys are familiar, if you're familiar with the YouTuber Meerkat Ultra. Do you know Meerkat Ultra? He does a lot of Stardom stuff and TJPW and Choco Pro more recently. I'd like to think that I'm the one that kind of turned him on to Choco Pro more thoroughly, or at least really gave him a big, like, kind of positive reinforcement for making more Choco Pro content, I'd like to think. But yeah, like, he was messaging me the other day because he was watching it. I'll just show you the message in the video, even though I can't show the message to everyone else because it's just an audio podcast. But if I could find it for his exact wording, but essentially he basically said, he called me Walt. It's like, where's Waldo, basically? Because, like, basically, oh yeah, so I can't see the photos. But basically, he sent me like a photo of like me at the Actress Girls from the other day. Yep. And he's like, you're like Waldo at this point. But yeah, so I was able to go to a couple Actress Girls shows. I went to several YMZ shows. I have my friend Claudio to thank for both of those. If Claudio wasn't in town, I wouldn't have gone probably to either of the Actress Girls that I went to or the YMZ shows that I went to. And I went to, like, I think on the 5th, January 5th, went to two YMZ shows on the same day. Yeah, so two Actress girls at least, maybe been three, two YMZ shows, PPP on the 9th, of course, Gato Move on the 10th. Yeah, so it was like crazy. Of course, Choco Pro was like what? They did their 4 days, 30, 31, 1, and 2. Of course, they also did the 26th before that. So 26th of December, Choco Pro, 30th December, 31st December, 1st and 2nd December, Choco Pro, all of those days.
And the 6th as well, they had another show on.
What's that?
And on the 6th of January as well.
Oh, yep, the 6th. I also did Choco Pro on the 6th. Of course, Got to Move on the 10th. On the 3rd, I can't remember if I did a show on the 3rd or not. I might have taken a day off of wrestling on the 3rd. I can't remember, though. I might have gone to something, too. On the 4th, TJPW in the morning, Wrestle Kingdom in the evening. I went to TJP. It's kind of cool, though. So my buddy Claudio was in town, and my schedule, it was a lot for me, but comparatively to like people like Claudio or some of the other wrestling tourists, as I guess you could call them, wrestling fans that come in for the loop, I think they call it. Mm-hmm. They go to even more. Like Claudio was doing more than I was, like basically every show I went to. Plus, well, not actually, he didn't go to Gotham Move on the 10th because he went to Cherry's independent show on the 10th. But like he was going to shows like everything I did plus, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, there might have been one day out of 3 weeks that he didn't go to a show. you know, whereas like I had a couple days off. Like I think on the 7th I had a day off from shows, maybe on the 8th, I can't remember. But the 9th and 10th were both very busy with those two. The 11th, I think I did something on the 11th. I went to a couple DDT shows in there as well. I went to like two or three DDT shows. My friend Catherine came from Hong Kong, came into town for just a few days. So we went to DDT together. Yeah, it was just wild. Basically, insane amount of wrestling shows, which I normally would not do. It was difficult keeping up, so blew out my finances. Luckily, Claudio was able to be like, oh, well, I've got an extra ticket here you can go to. And, you know, so I got an extra ticket here, extra ticket there from some very kind folks that helped me to go to some shows with them, which really helped a lot. But yeah, I mean, I feel like I'm rambling too long for this. But beyond the shows, this whole New Year's period is like, it's just about the atmosphere in general, right? So like, not only are you going to wrestling shows, but like there's so many visiting tourists and visiting people that are coming. So I got to meet, and especially with me, when it's Choco Pro fans that are coming in, you know, it's like great to get to meet them and chat with them and go out to places with them and be like, oh yeah, have you been here? Have you been there? And try to take them to places. You know, a lot of trips to Ebisco, a lot of trips to Cielo, a lot of trips to, where's the other big, of course, Dropkick Bar. But even more, there's all these other little Bar Clutch, you know, Antonio Honda's birthday event at Bar Clutch, a couple Dicets music concerts in there. Mal's actually yesterday on the 14th was Mal's hardcore band. I brought a group. So, I mean, it's just been insane, basically. Let's just say that. But I'm really happy I got to meet like Ted and Donna, who are some Choco Pro Choco Bars. They're super kind and super friendly, and taking them out to some spots was really cool. Yeah, so I mean, Red Fox Punks, of course, Claudio, Darren was in town from Singapore Pro Wrest. So Darren introduced me to a new karaoke bar that's wrestling adjacent called Himawari, where they have live band like with your karaoke. And Claudio and I are terrible singers, but Darren's got like a golden voice. So basically we would hear Darren sing like three or four songs beautifully. Then Claudio would get on the mic and just absolutely just destroy it with like whatever. As the more he drank, the more karaoke he wanted to do. There was a Japanese woman in there falling in love with Claudio throughout the evening.
So I guess like this is a good time as any, because like we were, you know, we try and plan this show out, you might not believe it, we do try, and we were going to talk about like the general vibes around this time of year, because obviously you are pretty ingrained in the scene, like just hearing you talk about it there, like you're going to a bunch of shows, you're introducing yourself and meeting a whole bunch of people both within the Choco Pro world and sort of outside of it as well. So I think it's a good chance just to kind of take a step back from just Gatto Move and Choco Pro and just kind of get the vibes for what it's like when all these people are coming in, what sort of impression, what kind of feelings are they going, especially if they're coming to a Choco Pro for the first time. You know, I know people who their first Choco Pro experience is going to a live show, which is probably the best way, if we're being honest, to experience Choco Pro for the first time. But, you know, you get to be on the ground floor, basically, or the 42nd floor, as I think they like to call it at Choco Pro, and actually talk to the people and see what their experiences are like. So I'd love to pick your brain and just sort of get an impression. What were the vibes like for 2024 New Year's with all the tourists? Because, like, last year you could come over, but before that, like, you know, a couple of years you couldn't travel over. And even last year, I think people were still a little hesitant. The switch hadn't fully flicked over like it has for this year, perhaps.
Yeah, I mean, you've got it right. Like, it was really, I mean, obviously it's very positive. Like, there's always, like, that's the cool thing about it. Everyone in the wrestling community in and around Tokyo, well, of course, Japan as a whole, but really it does center, especially in the New Year's period, it really centers around Tokyo because there's just so much going on in Tokyo. But the cool thing is there's also a lot going out. Like, some of the folks that were coming in, you know, they're like, oh yeah, I'm doing these shows in Tokyo. Then tomorrow I'm going to Nagoya for this. And then I'm going to Osaka for that. And like, it's pretty inspiring and impressive to see some of these folks' itineraries. Mm. And because it's wild. It's like, dude, you really are, like, it's amazing. Like, stuff that I live here and I haven't done yet. You know, like, wow, you're going to Osaka to see this show? Like, amazing. You're going here to see that show? Amazing. But yeah, so it's really cool. Like, actually, so of course, in Choco Pro and Gatto Move, Ichigaya itself, there was like, yeah, so that's something that this year was, like, last year was also quite busy during the New Year's days. But yeah, this year was really crazy. Like, super packed crowd. The windows were super full. The window standing was super full. And I mean, a lot of new faces, both Japanese and foreign faces. Of course, I'm there so much that I tend to recognize, you know, I know all the faces that show up regularly. You know, there's a good... Ichigaya has quite a strong regular fan base of probably, like, you know, 30 people that go to most events, you know, not everyone, but, you know, there's you're seeing like the same 30 to 50 people a lot of times, at least. And then you have a smattering of new faces here and there at each show as well. Right. But you see a lot of regular faces. So it feels like a family or a community, which is one of the great parts about it. But yeah, like, I remember some of these New Year's shows was wild. Like, I remember at one of the shows, I think we might've had like double digit foreigner fans. Like, it was like 10 to 12. And like, you know, there was like Chie asking, oh, is anyone's first time? Of course, she's doing it in Japanese, asking if anyone's first time at Ichigaya. And so some of the foreigners didn't catch what she's asking. But I mean, like, so a couple of them might've raised their hand, but like some of them didn't, but I know it was their first time from talking. But like, there might have been, like, I think at one show we had like 12 new faces that had never been to Ichigaya before in one show, which is a lot when you can only fit about 50 people max, not even that, probably like, yeah, maybe. So there's like, you know, 5, 10, 15, maybe 20, 30, maybe 20 to 30 people inside, depending on how packed it is. And then an extra, no, maybe you could fit 50 to 60 if the outside's super packed. Yeah. But like, cause you could fit like, you know, 6 people in the seats in the window, and then you could fit like a good 15 just jammed in there behind them, which is what we were doing. But
you,
like,
couldn't there were a see lot the of wall on some of those shows.
Yeah, it was wild. Yeah, it was wild. A lot of new faces. It was really cool. Really, really exciting to see all these foreign fans there. There was a few people that literally like had never even seen Choco Pro before, and they had found out about it from like, I don't know, because some of them didn't even know about Puota. So I don't know how they ended up finding about Choco Pro, some of them. But some of them said that they were looking for wrestling things and it popped up and they heard about it. So they're like, oh, let's go check it out. Others had seen it maybe once or twice on YouTube and come to check it out. And it's interesting because you'll know, because some people you'll know they watched on YouTube because they immediately know who I am, or they'll recognize, oh, yeah, Jeff, I've seen you on... Okay, cool. So they watch on YouTube. Other people are like, hey, oh, do you live around here? I'm like, okay, this person doesn't watch it regularly on YouTube because they would know I obviously live around
here. I live here.
You didn't see the bunk behind the window? You didn't see the cot back there? No, but like, so it's cool. Like, it's really impressive to me when you see people that show up that you know that aren't regular YouTube watchers. And it's like, it makes you wonder, like, how do they find out about Gata Move? Because like, you'd expect them to know about like New Japan or DDT or NOAH or something like that, but not Gato Move. So it's pretty cool and it's great to see. And invariably, like so many people, like, I mean, multiple people that was like, yeah, I just came to Gato Move for the first time. It was really cool. And, you know, they were like, yeah, I was like, oh, what other shows are you visiting? And like, oh yeah, I went to NOAH or I went to DDT or I went to the Bloody Christmas, whatever show for Freedoms. And, you know, they're saying all these things that they've done that are all these different types of wrestling. And they're like, multiple people told me like, but this was probably the best show that I saw or best experience that I had. And they was there that day that they came to Choco Pro just because the feeling of Ichigaya, that closeness in Ichigaya, where you're literally like, you know, like when a wrestler is like in, if you're in one of those little corner seats, like you're like when the wrestler on the tag team matches, like a wrestler's literally sitting on your lap, basically like leaning their arm on your knee as they're like waiting for the tag, you know what I mean? And it's like this closeness that you don't get at any other wrestling show. And so like, it tends to be one of those shows that tends to resonate with people and stick with people, which is awesome to see. So I heard a lot of that. I heard a lot of feedback about people absolutely adoring the experience in Ichigaya. And they were like, oh my God, it was amazing. It was so great. It was so cool. But like, just in general, there's such a positive atmosphere going around. You know, I'm rambling off, but I can continue. But I figure maybe you might want to jump in on some stuff.
I think you are absolutely right when you're talking about the experience of Gato Move and Choco Pro in that kind of very intimate environment. Because as someone who was watching Choco Pro for, you know, essentially a couple of years before I went to my first live show, it really is a completely different experience. And it is one of those things, like if you ever get the chance to go, obviously you absolutely have to make a point to go to a Choco Pro while you're there, because as cool as it is on YouTube and you get a pretty good experience, I'd say it's probably about 70% of the experience when you're watching on YouTube versus actually being there, because everything hits a lot harder. You can appreciate the caliber of the wrestling and how good they actually are doing it, but just being that close to the action, being that close to what they're doing, interacting with them, you know, as they're using you as a rope or whatever, it really does give you an experience that you cannot get at any other show. Even the small independent shows where, you know, you might be at Shinjuku Face, they might have 150 people there and you're right up near the ring as well, but it doesn't quite compare to what a Choco Pro experience truly is. And like, you know, it's not dobbing, but speaking of Kieran, who of course is one of our wrestling contributors, one of our main guys behind the scenes as well, his first real Choco Pro experience was last year going to a show. And he was the exact same thing. He went to Wrestle Kingdom. He went to Stardom. He went to TJPW. He saw Omega versus Ospreay, which was the reason he traveled to Japan for that weekend. Like, he went specifically for that show. And when I was talking to him after, the thing he said, like, the most fun he had at any of those wrestling shows was a Choco Pro event. And he went in with very little knowledge, probably all the stuff I'd force-fed him through, like, articles and stuff I'd written on the website. But he walked away, like, just understanding the value of a Choco Pro and a Gato Move, which is speaks to not only the experience, but just the caliber of what's actually going on there.
Yeah, definitely. Like, it's a magical kind of experience most people tend to have. So, you know, it is pretty cool that we're able to have a podcast about what I really do feel is one of the most unique and, you know, special wrestling kind of promotions that exist in the world. So it's pretty cool. Of course, now I don't know everything. I guess in Japan, I'll say in Japan and the US, because I have not been to Mexico to experience Mexico. Yeah. I've not been to UK to experience UK scene. So I don't want to say there's nothing there that can rival it, but I do feel that Choco Pro definitely has carved out a beautiful niche in the world of wrestling and a great experience for anybody who has the chance to come to Japan, for sure. But I do know, speaking of that, like, you know, I got to see Red Fox Punks, one of the Choco Pro. I've met him several times before as well as on his other previous trips to Japan, one of our regular Choco Mints, Choco Bars, and recently Choco Godzilla in December.
Ooh.
But yeah, so he was in town. He's still in town, actually. He's going, luckily, he actually will be, he got himself a ticket for Baka Gaijin. So he'll be at Baka Gaijin tomorrow.
One of the lucky ones.
What's that? Yeah, one of the lucky ones. Yeah. So you know, I remember like talking with him makes me inspired to go to visit Mexico, because he went down to Mexico last mm-hmm. year or earlier this yeah in 2023, and looking at some of his stories from Mexico is super, super cool. And like we were talking about his Mexico experience when he was at Ichigaya, and you know, he was saying that was a really cool and special experience as well. Of course, nothing like Choco Pro, but also very yeah. unique and interesting.
There's a worldwide culture of wrestling, and you know, we're lucky enough, you know, we don't have to travel there necessarily to get a taste of it, thanks to the advent of the internet and, you know, video and all of that. But there is always something special about being at a show, and like Arena Mexico, CMLL, that kind of big vibes, like that would be, I think, on the bucket list of most wrestling fans. Even if you aren't a big Lucha Libre guy, it's like you've got to visit Madison Square Garden for wrestling, you've got to visit Curtin Hall for wrestling, and Ichigaya, and you've kind of got to visit Arena Mexico. Don't know if there's like a British place you need to visit to, but like those venues are kind of like the holy pilgrimage for the wrestling fan. If you can get to each one, it's a very special.
I remember hearing word about, I don't know how true it is, but with like the US promotions, like WWE and things going to UK, it was like Royal Albert Hall or Prince Albert Hall or something along those names. I don't remember exactly, but some fancy sounding name like that. But I don't know if that's true or if that was just WWE marketing or something. Mm. But yeah, I'd love to learn about that. I'm sure if anyone listening wants to add comments about that, I'd love to know about some of these famous wrestling venues, or, you know, since we're on the topic, if there's cool promotions that people know that give them that kind of special vibe or unique vibe. It doesn't have to be similar to Gato. Like, oh yeah, it's the same as the Choco Pro feeling. But I mean, like, it's got it, you know, it could be a totally different thing. Like, I know Lucha Underground seemed to have a very special atmosphere to it when it existed. And I can imagine, you know, being in that community and going to the, because it was, you know, filmed in the same area every time. Yep. And so I'm sure it developed its own little subculture and its own like regular fans that would show up every week. So I imagine that had to be an awesome feeling going to that regularly as part of the, what do they call themselves? The Lucha, I forget what the Lucha Underground fans, I forget what the name they marketed it as. You know, not as cool as Choco Mints, obviously.
No. Not bad for a secondary company compared to Gato Move. Yeah. I miss Lucha Underground. Like every time it gets brought up, it's one of those things like, oh, because it's almost like my kind of wrestling. It's over the top, it's ridiculous. You got storylines and all that, but yeah, I need Lucha Underground to come back in some form.
Yeah, and I've heard the contracts were a little bit sketchy towards the end.
Yeah, look, it was classic Carney business.
But other than that, I'd like to see Lucha Underground come back, but in a way that is holistic and beneficial and open for the talent working on the show.
No 7-year contracts for people who are being
scouted. Yeah, no 7-year contract for someone on a TV show that you don't know if you're going to have a season 4, you know.
Yeah,
and Ricochet, you definitely don't have a season 4, and you're still holding people to a contract for something that literally isn't happening. But anyway, well, let's not get into all that. But
No.
I would love to see stuff, more stuff like that, just more unique, interesting wrestling product, right? But yeah, we got off on a bit of a tangent. But speaking of the atmosphere a little bit more and things like that, I will say it was also interesting to meet wrestling fans and having these conversations. So, you know, especially for me, most of the other wrestling fans I see on a day-to-day basis are Japanese wrestling fans. And we mostly talk about Japanese wrestling and, you know, and it's just, you know, very different than when a foreign wrestling fan comes here and even if they just want to talk about Japanese wrestling, it's still interesting, right? I know Japanese fans love it. Being able to meet foreign fans that like Japanese wrestling, Japanese fans absolutely adore it. Cause to them, it's always like you like it. And especially if you don't, if it's not New Japan, you know, if it's New Japan, they understand it, but like, it's like, it would be like, if you're so one thing is talk about Japanese wrestling, but you also talk about other stuff. So like Ted and Donna, when they were in, you know, we were talking wrestling, and their wrestling interests are very closely aligned to my own. But they're also really interested in US indies. And I've never been to a US indie, right? I've never been to a wrestling show in America. Every wrestling show I've ever been to as a live fan has been in Japan, you know, because I've been in Japan for the last almost, you know, it's coming on 10 years soon enough. You know what I mean? So like, yeah, like, and 10 years ago, I just started, like, when I first got back into watching wrestling was when I moved. I've told my whole history here before, but like, basically I was working in Angola removing landmines. When I took a break from that and I came back to the US to go back to university, which was right before I moved to Japan. I came back to the US for like maybe like 6 months or something before I moved to Japan. And during that time in like 2013, I started watching like Monday Night Raw and I don't know if SmackDown was even on TV at that time. I don't remember.
It would have been, yeah.
But basically, so I moved back to America and I was living with my brother, my twin brother, and we were living together as roommates for that time. And we used to watch wrestling as children, as kids, right? But we stopped by the time we were in high school. We weren't really watching anymore. We were busy with sports and all these other things. Then I joined the army and then I was working in, you know, development and stuff like that. So then finally, after years and years away, you know, I came back home and it was like something we could watch together and kind of reconnect a bit on. So that kind of started me watching, but we would just watch it casually on Monday Night Raw, you know? Then when I moved to Japan, I actually started watching Monday Night Raw even more. Because I can continue to talk to my brother about it. So something we could touch base on while I was in Japan and he was in the US. He goes, hey, did you watch the TV? But then like WWE just got more and more unwatchable to me. Like in 2014, 2015, I started like just not getting into it as much. Like I didn't like any of the stories. It got harder to watch. Then I got interested in Japanese pro wrestling from a friend here that watched it. And then I went to my first, which was Wrestle Kingdom, of course. You know, because I knew Fale at the time because he had a bar near my house and I'd met him through that. And so I was curious, like, oh, yeah, I'll go check out that. And a friend of mine wanted to check it out. So we went to Wrestle Kingdom and that kind of opened the door. Right. Yeah. But yeah, so like it was cool. Anyway, I went on another tangent, as I often do. But anyway, the reason I mentioned that is because like it was really cool to talk to Ted and Donna when they came down. When they came out here, because they would talk to me about all the US indie stuff. And they were like, oh yeah, we do a lot of US indie stuff and like some of the stuff that they like. And it was cool because I'm like, well, I like, you know, hearing about what they like in Japan made me think about, oh, maybe I'll probably like some of the stuff they're recommending in the US. So they were recommending some US indies. So now I have some indies to look forward to checking out, you know, this year. I'm excited to look into. They sent me a couple names of things that I now follow on Instagram and things like that. So I'll look out for some shows. Because the only US indie that I'm very familiar with is DPW due to the Choco Pro connection, right?
Of course, yeah.
But yeah, so stuff like that's really fun to be able to have those conversations. With that being said, one of the coolest things is I love taking foreign visiting tourists to different places. Like I met some of the people in the wider Joshi community, like what is it? Up Up Boy is like a big TJPW fan. And I met him at a show and it was okay. And then we, oh yeah, okay, I recognize you from Twitter. Okay, cool, cool, cool. And so we linked up and then I told him, I saw him at TJPW, I think. And then we had talked about Gato and I was like, oh yeah, there's a Gato move show on the 10th. It's gonna be really good. Riho's on it. And he's like, oh really? That's cool. And so like, I saw him at like a Shinjuku Face show or something like that. No, I saw him at the PPP show on the 9th. That's what it was. I saw him at the PPP show on the 9th. And then I was like, yeah, tomorrow in the same venue's got to move. It's going to be a really good show. You should come and check it out. And I was like, oh yeah, but do you know about, and I was, you know, because anytime there's a visiting wrestling fan, I want to let them know about stuff. And right near Shinjuku Face, there's DDT Bar. There's Ebisco, the DDT Izakaya. There's Cielo down the block, which is like my regular Golden Guy bar for wrestling. So I was like, oh, well, while we're here, you know, it's not open today, but maybe I can at least show you this place. So like, okay. And I brought him over and I showed him, yeah, this is Ebisco. Upstairs on the 8th floor is the Dropkick Bar. Let's try to link up later this week and we'll do something, you know? And I said, oh yeah, there's an event on the 11th for Chris Brooks is doing a bartending event at Dropkick. So make sure you check it out, you know? And then we exchanged Instagram and stuff. And then I was just trying to be friendly and he was like, oh, cool. And so that openness and being like, hey, cool. Like, he decided to come to Gato Move the next day and he came to the Gato Move show. I saw him and I said, oh, cool. You made it to Gato Move. He absolutely loved the Gato Move show and it was a great experience. And, you know, that was opening his eyes to seeing Gato Move in Choco Pro. And now I've developed a relationship. So like, it's really great. Like that type of spirit of, I guess that's kind of like an individual story meant to give a feeling of the spirit of this kind of period in Japan, where you've got all these folks coming in and you're meeting people and you're exchanging social media and you're talking about what wrestling shows are you going to, and people are jumping in like, oh, I'm going to this show. Oh, cool, I'm going to that show too. Or, oh, after the show, let's go get food here at this place. And it's just an awesome thing, because I think especially for fans of Japanese wrestling, I think a lot of time it's a kind of individual or solo experience other than online community where you might be sharing stuff like Twitter and sharing images and following posts. Generally, a lot of Japanese wrestling fans abroad, you know, they're watching it at home by themselves. Maybe they don't have a huge community around them that are also into Japanese wrestling, because it's kind of a niche thing. But when they come here, there's this whole community and all these other people that are like super excited about it. And so everybody is just like, yeah, that's cool. What are you doing? Let's do la da 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 da. And Japanese fans love it. When I take some of these, I take some of them to the wrestling bars, and Japanese fans love it. They're like, oh, where are you from? Oh, what wrestling do you like? What's your favorite wrestler? Why do you like it? And like, they just absolutely love meeting foreign fans. So like, it's just so fun. I don't know.
No, it's absolutely true. Like, I've not been there during Wrestle Kingdom period because I can't justify the exorbitant prices Qantas charge for me to go over during that New Year period. But even when I was there last year, just for a couple of weeks in a, it wasn't nondescript because, like, you had All-Star Grand Queendom for Stardom and there was a couple of other things happening around that time. But I was there and, like, I'm not the most outgoing person. Yeah, despite the fact I have about 7 different podcasts. I can do that behind the screen. It doesn't matter. But actually in person, I'm pretty shy. I'm pretty reserved. But, like, just you see another foreigner at those shows and you're just kind of like, oh, okay, I can talk to you in English. I know it's going to be okay. And then you see him at a second show. It's like, okay, we have similar tastes in wrestling. I'm latching onto you. I'm talking to you. And it's just, I feel like you get that build of community because, yeah, you're absolutely right. Like, most people who follow Japanese wrestling probably don't have a in real life community around them. You make your friends online. If you get a chance to see them in person, that's just kind of like a rare bonus. But when you go to Wrestle Kingdom, you've just got this influx, especially now that we're back to kind of normal tourism. Everyone can fly over, do their thing. It does feel almost like that festival culture that I sort of see a lot with like Japan in the summer. Everyone's just getting out and getting involved and connecting with people. And that's the beauty of Japanese wrestling when you go over there during this period. Everyone's kind of in that frame of mind. You're not going there just to see a show and then just kind of recluse. You're almost more open to the concept of I can make new friends, make new contacts, and experience something that you couldn't in any other circumstance.
Oh, absolutely. Like, actually, one of the regular Chaco Mints, X Death Knight X, I'll just use his username so as not to, you know, put his real name out there. But actually, he was saying that exact same thing. He was saying, like, back home, he's quite, like inward. You know, he doesn't go out so much. He's not really outgoing. He's he really kind of keeps to himself a lot. He doesn't really go out so much. But he was, like, thinking, like, he wanted to kind of do, like, one of his goals coming was, like, I want to try to get outside of my comfort zone a little bit more and go out more and kind of be more out there than I would normally be back home. And I think he did. Like, he was like, man, he was a huge success. I'm telling you what, man, Japan loved them some X Death Knight X. they love Death Knight. Like, he's just got like, well, so part of it, he's a very nice guy, super friendly guy. And of course, I met him at Ichigaya at one of the early shows because I knew he's coming. And we talked. He shot me a message on Twitter or Instagram, I forget which one, beforehand. And of course, we stay in regular, you know, we stay just like a lot of the regular Chaco Mints, you know, we'll send Twitter messages or Instagram messages from time to time on the ones that follow me, just kind of just casually. But, you know, at one of the early shows he went to, one of his first shows was, of course, the Jigaya. We linked up and I was like, yeah, well, I'm doing this and that. Do you want to come with? And he's like, sure. And next thing I know is like, it was like, so Claudio is like my, like, Ichiban Tomodachi, number one best buddy of any visiting wrestling fan. Like, we're always, when Claudio's in town, we're like basically attached at the hip doing everything together. And Death Knight was like right in there with us. And it was like me, it was like literally, and there's another one, another guy, he's not a Chaco pro guy, but a DDT guy on his trip last time, like 6 months ago when he was in town, Yannick was similar. Like, it was like me, Claudio, and Yannick everywhere. But it was like this, I was me, Claudio, and Death Knight. And we were doing everything together, like going, okay, let's go. We're going to go to Cielo. We're going to go to a show. We're going to go to grab some food at Ebisco. Like, every day I'd see them. You know, I'd either see one of them or both of them. It was every day. It was like during this 2 to 3 week period, we're all best friends like forever. And oh my God, the amount of people that absolutely fell in love with this guy because he, I mean, he just, to Japanese people, he looks like Santa Claus. He's basically, he's got a big beard. He's a bigger guy. He's got a big old beard. He's got like very friendly face. You know, like when he smiles, he's got his eyes light up. You know, he's just got that friendly kind of Santa Claus vibe to him. So Japanese people, the amount of times I would, when I take him, like, oh, we're going to go here. And like, we'd go to Natsu Bar in Nichome, or we'd go to Cielo in Kabukicho in Golden Guy, or we'd go to Ebisco, or we'd go to Dropkick, or we'd go to a random wrestling show. Literally everywhere we go, Japanese fans, Japanese wrestlers, they're all like, oh, he's like Santa. And they're just calling him, and we jokingly call him like Santa-san, you know what I mean? And so he's instantly over it. Everybody loved him. And I think it was, I know he had a blast as well. And I think Tokyo is really looking forward to his coming back. And I think it's like that with a lot of people. Ted and Donna were really great. And you know, we went out to some bar Vesper and some other places. And you know, now when they come back, not only do they have me as a friend, they've got Japanese friends. You know what I mean? Mm. Like they have a whole network of friends now in Japan. So like, it's just, I don't know, man, it's a really, really cool atmosphere.
So before we move on to the more centralized Choco Pro Gatto move discussions, I guess, what would be your one recommendation for people coming over, I guess, looking to open up their experiences like that in Tokyo and Japan?
Yeah, obviously, I mean, I think it's obviously, you know, we kind of been beating around that bush, but it's essentially just don't be afraid to get outside of your comfort zone, or don't be afraid to try something new. You know, Japan is such a safe country and everybody's so friendly. And so like, you don't have to worry. Like if somebody invites you to do something, you know, in some countries, if someone's like, hey, you should do that. Are they trying to scam me, or what's their motivation? You know, in Japan, like there's none of that. Like it's genuine. Like go to a show that you've never heard of before. Go to a promotion you've never heard of before if it opens up. Obviously, a great way to find that is using the Puota website. I think most who are listening to this probably understand what the Puota website is, but not everybody does. But the Puota website's a great way to find shows. But yeah, I would suggest, you know, don't just go to the... Oh, and one thing I would say, leave space in your calendar. So there's like a double edge. One, go to some promotions that maybe you would not normally have thought about going to. Open up your eyes to something new and different. Maybe you might like it. You know, so don't just go to the stuff that you only know. Because if you go to something you don't know, it's going to be completely new. You're going to look at it with fresh eyes. If you know the promotion, you know the wrestlers, you know all that, you already kind of have a existing preconceived notion of what to expect. And you're going to have a great time. But if you go to something like, okay, I'm going to go to Freedoms. I don't know anything about any of the wrestlers on Freedoms. I don't know any of these random Japanese indie, but you know what? You're probably going to have a great time. You're going to learn about a new wrestler that you love. Actually, two of my friends from Philly came in and I took them to, also I brought like four people with me to Gato Move Again this time. But two of my friends from Philly, they've never been to a wrestling show before in their life. They're only familiar with, one knows WWE from his childhood. The other one more recently watched a little AEW. So he knows Emi Sakura and Riho. And so I brought them to Gato Move and they knew nothing about wrestling. And it was cool because I got to see like, well, which wrestlers stood out to you and all that. I'll talk about that more when we talk about that show.
Let me know. Sure, for sure. Yeah.
But but then the other thing is leave space in your schedule for time without wrestling shows. I would say that as well. Don't overbook your schedule. Some people, they come in, they book like two wrestling shows a day. Like, okay, in the morning I'm going to this, in the evening I'm going to this. Then tomorrow I've got these two shows. And the next day I'm going, and like literally they're so packed with shows. And it wears you out. Like, I mean, you are just exhausted. So make sure you leave some days that are just open. Because what's going to happen is you're going to get here. And as you're here and as you're doing things, new things are going to pop up that you're going to want to do. Or you met somebody cool and they're like, oh, hey, do you want to go grab dinner tomorrow at this place? And you're going to want to, but you can't because you have another wrestling show that you've already planned tomorrow that you booked like months ago. And you're like, you know, so it's good to leave some space open for you can always buy another ticket for something different in that time because you maybe find something new or you might have that chance to go, oh, actually, do you know there's a Chris Brooks bartending event at DDT tomorrow? Oh, cool. Well, let's go to it. You know, so like leave that space in to do stuff. And also, you know, maybe you want to get outside of wrestling and have a day where you just go do some normal tourist stuff, you know. So those
Tokyo is a pretty cool city. It'd be a shame if you only spent it in Kuroken Hall, Shinkiba First Ring, and Shinjuku Face and Ichigaya Square.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, some pretty good advice. The only thing I will say, like, everyone's very welcoming, friendly, and safe. Do be careful of the touts in Kabuchiko, though. You don't want to get scammed. There are a couple of people, but they're pretty obvious. Easy.
Basically, if anyone on the street that's obviously like, hey, come to my business, come to my bar. Hey, you looking for girls?
Just, lady massage.
Just ignore them. Just say, hey, no thanks. Be firm, but be polite.
Yeah.
You don't have to yell at them. Don't get in an argument with them. Don't cause a big thing with them. You know, if you have headphones in, it's great because you could literally just ignore them. You're listening to your headphones. But like, if you feel pressure that you should have to, you could just say, hey, I'm good. Thank you. Mm. No. And give them a firm no. You can give them a firm no. But I try to be polite. You know, I'll be like, hey, look, brother, I don't want to waste your time. I'm not going with you. I'm just going to my friend's bar. Have a good night. And if you're firm enough, they'll understand. But if you're a little wishy-washy on it, you know, they might bother you for quite a bit. So
yeah, I have found, like, because I'm pretty good at the wishy-washy response, because I'm I think it's okay. I have found that compared to a lot of other places I've been to, they don't harass you for that long. You know, just keep walking, don't stop. It's not like when I was in Beijing once, I had a guy offering me a rickshaw ride. He literally followed me for 2 kilometers. And I was like, no.
That sounds like, I would say for women, that's one thing. Like, especially around Shinjuku, Kabukicho area, for women, visiting women, be careful, because in Japan, they have what's called nampa. So nampa is the pickup style, I guess you could say, in Japan. And basically guys, and it's not even business. This is also just guys looking to have sex with girls. So they're literally, if they see a girl, and it really frustrates me living here, because like, it's so aggressive. Like, because you'll see it when you're walking. They'll be just posted up hanging out in a kind of populated area. They'll see a girl that they think is pretty or of the age, or maybe that they could just by herself walking. This girl's just like doing her normal life. She's like, maybe she's going to the movie theater to watch a new movie or something. And she's just walking, and they literally will like beeline to her and like, hey, what's up? Do you want to go out for a drink? Let's go to a cafe together. Let's do this. And like, she's clearly just trying to like ignore them, but they just follow and they do not give up. And like, it's very annoying to see, where sometimes if I'm in the right position, I'll try to, and I see it happening, I'll kind of like just kind of try to position my body in between them to kind of screw up their game, you know, because I could see it happening. So I'm like, let me just shift over here, because if they happen to be near me, I can somehow get in the way a little bit, so it makes it harder for him to get to her. And by then, maybe sometimes she's able to get far enough away where he doesn't get to bother her. So like, sometimes I try to do that to like sneakily help these girls out. But you know, you don't, you obviously don't get in an argument with them, or don't be like, hey, leave her alone. You know, all that stuff is a little bit much for Japan, unless it's obvious. Like if it's something obvious, like, you know, if they're grabbing on someone and stuff, but you know, but yeah. So if you're a girl, be careful on that. Just ignore them. Just keep it moving. You know, and don't go with that either, because you know, it's just a bad scene, I guess.
Yeah. That's an unfortunate side effect. You know, a lot of travel women do have to be that little bit extra careful than someone like us. But again, like, there are probably more difficult places to navigate if you are.
Oh, yeah. And then at the end of the day, Japan's great and it's safe and it's lovely and everybody's friendly. So again, these are just, you know, let us not ruin your image of Japan by that. These are very minor, you know, these are obviously, every society has things where they can improve. And, you know, Japan has it as well. But in general, it's a great country and friendly people, and you're going to love your trip here. So, yeah.
And a lot of that stuff is, in my experience, and I don't live in Japan, is more centered in the red light district, major, you know, areas like your Shinjuku's, Kabuchiko's. You're probably not going to get it out in Osaka, for example. But just something to be aware of if you're traveling over there. Heading into more specific Choco Pro Ghetto Move stuff, been a lot happening in the past month, not just the veritable, you know, multitude of shows that have happened and are still to happen. You know, obviously we got a Back of Gaijin happening after we've recorded this, but before the episode comes out, so we can't really talk about that. Not even Jeff, believe it or not. You know, it's one of the rare cases where he can't give us up to date on all the stuff that's been happening. But, you know, a lot of stuff to go through. We will go through the sad stuff first. Last month, we had to talk about a couple of injuries. Unfortunately, the injury bug has continued a little bit. Miyu Yotsuba was meant to be challenging Emi Sakura at the To The Future show. Unfortunately, like on the last Choco Pro show before that event, she went down with an ankle injury and had to miss the show. We are hoping she recovers quickly and healthily. It seems like it wasn't, on the grand scheme of things, the injury could have been a lot worse. It's, you know, more of just a rest and rehab and build the strength back up kind of injury, but horrible timing for her.
Yeah, I mean, I don't recall what they put out on that, so I want to be careful with what I say. Let me actually go to their Twitter to make sure. I don't want to accidentally say anything that hasn't been put out, but I will say that. All right, yeah, so I guess there's a lot of things to talk about this, right? And that, I guess the best, I want to focus in on the way it was handled and what and how they adjusted in the immediate aftermath, as well as moving into the show on the 10th. But I will say that in terms of like the medical updates, yeah, it was very scary, right? It happened in the middle of the main event, like just quite early on the main event of Ichigaya's show. And I think it was the sixth. It was either the sixth. I think it was the sixth, right? Yeah, it was on the sixth. It was the show before the Gato move in ring. So it was literally the show before, which was definitely heartbreaking. I mean, it was in like for us in the, it was like one of those things. It was similar like when Shin injured himself. It was actually quite similar in feeling surprised. Like, you know, it was both their leg and it was like they both, you could see they wanted to try to continue. But Mia, I think, was better at it. Like, she was like, try it. And she's like, yeah, okay, I shouldn't, which is smart. And I think that I think Mia making the right decisions at that time, recognizing her injury, not pushing too hard on it. Like, she tested it, said, yeah, this is clearly not no go, is, I think, a big factor in what seems to be like her injury. Maybe something, you know, there was no breaks. I don't know if they've announced. I mean, I do know kind of what happened, what the injury was, but I don't think it was announced yet. So I'm not going to say anything. However, what I will say is I know it was something that should be relatively quick recovery comparatively, right? It's not, it doesn't look like something. And again, we still don't know it fully, right? We only know day by day and update by update, but the early signs look to be something positive. It looks to be something that it's not like she's going to be out for 6 months or a year or anything like that. You know, fingers crossed, making sure everything, knock on wood, all that. It does look positive. It does look like if the early indications are correct and there's no complications, it does seem like we might be able to see her back fairly soon. So that's really wonderful. However, it was, as you said, it's heartbreaking, right? Because like, I thought that Choco Pro and Gotham Move did such a good job in building up to this main event between Emmy and Mia. Like, it was really, I mean, it was phenomenal. Mia was really coming across as a credible threat. I don't think any of us expect Mia to win against Emi Sakura, considering not even May has held the Super Asia title yet.
Yeah.
So, I mean, is it possible that Mia could hold the Super Asia before May? Yes, of course it is possible. That would be like mind-blowing. But like, I think the odds were against her on winning. However, I think they really built it up as like, this is going to be a battle and this is going to be a match and Emmy's going to have to work for this one. You know, like, they really did a great job building Mia up and into a really powerful, serious competitor and a genuine threat for that title. So, I mean, at the end of the day, that's not lost. You know what I mean? That hard work that they put into it, you know, it's not gone. They can very easily, you know, Mia can be like, hey, you never gave me, I want my match. You know, that can still happen. And I have a feeling it will still happen. So it's just a little bit of a delay. But, you know, it's still heartbreaking because, man, I think we're all so excited for that event. It was really going to be like the coronation of Mia to the next level of competitor. And I don't think she was going to win the title, but I do think it was going to help solidify her as like, you know, hey, I'm one of the main players here in Ichigaya. You know what I mean? And she still obviously is, but I think that would have been that really kind of cherry on top type of thing to watch her and Emmy have that killer match at Gato Move. But, you know, it, rather than dwell on what could have been, I think it's better to look at, like, you know, how Gato Move responded in that moment of crisis, if you will. Because it was so, like, on the day of, obviously, it was sudden, it was confusing, no one knows what's happening, everyone's very concerned. You know, the feeling in the crowd was immediately worry, right? We're all very worried about Mia. Is she going to be okay? You know, what's going to happen now? Or is the show going to end? Or is there going to be another match? Like, what's going to happen? And I think the setup that they had, the teams that were set up, I think made it not realistic for them to just change it to, like, on the fly, right? Because you had, on one side, you had Mei, Aki, and Emmy. And on the other side, I think you had Mia, Obi, and Sekine. And Sekine is a guest player, right? Yeah. So I think in that regards, it would have been tough to just shift it to, like, let's say, okay, well, Mia's out. Let's just change it to the Best Bros versus Sekine and Obi, right? Mm-hmm. One might think that. But and it makes sense on one hand, but in Gato Move, in the style and what they do in Chakra Pro, it's a little more difficult, especially with a guest player in, to do an on the fly thing like that. Like, sure. I think had it been like a little bit of switches, and let's say had Emmy or had any one of Emmy, Mei, and Aki been on that team, and it had been like Aki, Obi, and Mia versus Mei, Emmy, and Sekine, and Mia's out, they could have probably instantly done a switch and just done like Killer Queens versus Aki and Obi. And they probably could have gone right into that. And those four work with each other so much that they could have probably just put it together perfectly, right? Mm. However, we didn't have that set up. So I don't think it was really an option to just do an on-the-fly switch like that. So what they did do, though, is really interesting. So we got to do some things in Ichigaya that I have never seen before in the years I've been there, going there as a regular member. Well, okay, so I saw a double. One thing is they kind of went back to something that used to be a thing pre-pandemic, when before Choco Pro existed and it was Gato Move. They would always end shows and they would have like kind of like a chat with the audience. So you'd have a lot of the players, just they would share tea, like they would bring, a lot of the wrestlers would bring some like green tea or hot tea to all the fans, and they would kind of sit there, and then the wrestlers would sit there and they would have a kind of a talk, and they would be like an extended chat about whether upcoming matches or feelings on a match or just various things. And they would just chat with the fans about things. And we saw a little bit of that because at the time we happened to have some folks from Singapore Pro Wrestling. We had Larvin and we had Greg from Singapore Pro Wrestling, who's the founder of Singapore Pro Wrestling. And he trained with Emmy and Aki. Him and Aki, I believe, debuted together. I don't think they mentioned that, but him and Aki, I believe, debuted Gato Move on the same show years and years ago. So Greg was able to talk a little bit about Singapore Pro Wrest, his experience with Gato Move. So we got a little bit of a peek of behind the scenes, which was really fun, and stuff that they used to do that they just haven't had the ability to recently. So that was cool. And then we also saw something new, which is that the first time that I've seen where all the fans in Ichigaya got to get involved in Janken. And we had a Janken tournament with everyone in Ichigaya, all fans. And it reminds me of the school style. In Japanese schools, they'll do that with the sensei will be like in the center, or one student will be the center, and then everyone takes part. And it's like, okay, well, if everyone beats sensei, you know, whoever beats sensei stays in it. If you tie or you lost, you're out. And then it goes until there's a one person winner, right? And the cool thing is they had like special, like they quickly, like they had all the roster, they took the sign, like these, I forget what the Japanese word for it, but it's essentially like a little cardboardy, kind of like a piece of thick paper, thick like stock. And it's a sign, like, you know, they'll use it, wrestlers use to autograph things, and it'll be like an autographed board. And they had some, so they had the entire roster autograph a board, and actually had really cute drawings that Chie drew cute drawings on it. And they had three winners got to, and everybody Janken, and three different people won a full autographed like kind of big board by all the players of Gato Move. And this is super unique. I don't have that. I don't have something like that. I went to over 60 Gato Move in Choco Pro shows last year. I don't have anything like that. You know, like nobody has, you know, most 99% of fans do not have something like that. Mm. Like that's a real unique special item that those three fans get to walk away with, and I hope they cherish it. The cool thing is, I know there was a foreign fan who got it. One of the staff who works at she was a bartender at Swan Dive. She was there and she won one, but she actually gave hers to a visiting one of the kids. There was a little kid there, and she's so sweet. She gave hers that she won to one of the kids that had been in attendance with their parent. So she gave one to a little boy. I think it was his first time at Gato at Choco Pro. And then the other one, I think, also went to a Japanese fan, but I don't remember if it was like a first time fan or not. But it was actually so, like, good people. I mean, of course, it would have been great if I won one, but I'm happy to see like it go to people that were having like their first experience at Ichigaya. Yeah. Even though secretly I was like, man, I wish I had won that one. And I was like in the last, like there was down to like three of us. And like, I was like, I should throw paper, but I threw the wrong one. I was like, damn it, I should have got my first gut. And so I just narrowly missed winning one. But in the end, I'm happy that it went to people that that were having their first experience. And the cool thing is like, so the reason I mentioned this is because like I said, we were all super down. But then by the end of that, you know, of course, we're all still concerned about Mia, but like everyone had such a good feeling. Like we really, like they turned that negative into such a positive and gave all the fans there such a unique and fun, memorable experience to help, you know, put that bad experience out of their mind. Like, let's change this and let's give you a really wonderful, positive memory to leave with. And so that was awesome. So in the immediate, like they really turned it around and, you know, made a great experience for everybody on that day. You know, of course, I wish the fans watching on YouTube could have had that same thing, but you know, you're limited in what you can do. And then when you look at the show, I thought they did a really good job. You know, going into that show, we were very, you know, it was like, man, this is, you know, I was getting private messages from people like, man, this show is like jinxed or cursed or this, that, and the other, because of the amount of changes on that show. Like, if you look at the Gato Move show that we had on the 10th versus what was the original plan, so many changes. I mean, I can go into it, but I don't know if you want to. I've been talking for a while. I don't know if you want to jump in on some things, but.
Well, I'm not fully aware of all of the changes because it just kind of happened and happened and happened. But like, we were nearly close to missing another key match on that show, which was Miyu Amasaki versus Mei Suruga. And like, that was a match that was meant to happen quite a while back. Unfortunately, Amasaki got injured just before it, and they had to change on the fly to what was a fantastic match with Momoka Hanazono. Then we're coming toward this one. Obviously, Stardom's been just wrecked by injuries as well. And Miyu Amasaki kind of avoided most of that. It's like, okay, phew, here we go. She falls sick. Yeah. And obviously, we're in flu season. There's been people catching COVID over there as well. Amasaki falls sick. It's like, okay, well, maybe they can find someone last minute to come in, wrestle Mei Suruga. We were talking about it online. It's like, oh, did I have any friends that, you know, oh, no, well, Cherry's running a show and a bunch of the normal.
Yeah, because we were talking about that. Like with Cherry's show, it was going to be difficult to replace her because a lot of their regulars are going to be on shows like that. You know, like Kaori Onoyama was wrestling in Cherry's show that night. So they can't call her to do it. She's wrestling somewhere else at the same time. You know, and that would be my first, like, call Kaori Onoyama. Get Onoyama on the card. Can't do it.
And then like it was like, oh well, we won't have to worry about replacing her because May's sick as well.
Yeah, and it's like, and oh no.
It felt like that match was off. And then of course you had the Yotsuba injury. Thankfully though, that match, you know, they're able to get well enough and they were able
literally
to
the day it was the day before. It was like literally the day before we found out that match is gonna happen, that they announced that May and Miyu is still gonna happen. But it was looking like, wow. This is going to be a Gato Move show that has no Mei, no Chie, no Mia, like no Mei, no Mia or Chie. Like, like what? Like, of course, also no Nonoka, but it was like Mei, Mia, Chie are really their three big regulars right now. And Chie's out for an extended period of time. Mia looked like, oh man, she might be out for an extended period of time. At that time, it seemed like. And then May was like, we don't know what's going on, maybe at least a week or something. But like, yeah, so it was like, oh my gosh. But like beyond that, like if we also look at other people that were originally planned on the card that had to be changed out, Chris Brooks was originally meant to be CDK versus Gaia and Mune Tats. So Chris Brooks, obviously out. Mune out. Mune caught a fever the week before as well. So Mune Tots was out. So that match was originally CDK versus Gaia and Mune. Half of the members of that match were not on the card. They had to adjust on the fly on that one too. Mm. So when you look at it, you've got like so many changes. We lost out on one match, was the Mia versus Emmy, but they changed, they adapted things, and the Balianaki versus Tanaka match.
Yeah,
didn't do a three way for the title with Emmy as well. Great match. That main event was amazing. Better than it had any right to be on a match. It was great. Like a lot of great stuff on that card, but a lot of people really said that the main event really stood out to them the most is like, man, that match was the best. A lot of wrestlers there thought it was. I know Chris Brooks was completely enamored with the main event. Like Chris loved the main event. And so like that main event was absolutely amazing. And that was a match that wasn't even supposed to happen. And they had to announce just days before, and they put out like an awesome match. That main event slapped. The CDK versus Mune and Gaia match that was supposed to happen, that was changed. New competitors for each team. That match was amazing as well. My friends that so I mentioned bringing a couple of my buddies from Philadelphia who happened to be in town doing other stuff, and they had one day free, and I was like, they had a couple days, but I was like, well, what about the 10th? Are you free on the 10th? And they were like, yeah, we got the 10th. I was like, all right. I wanted to bring them to PPP on the 9th as well, but they were going to a K-pop concert. So, but on the 10th, they came to Gata Move, and it was one of their highlights. So to them, when I asked them after the show, like, okay, which wrestlers stood out to you? And so the two wrestlers that stood out to them, they both said Mei Suruga. So Mei immediately, and of course she's the ace, you know, and there's a reason for it. But I gave them no, it wasn't like I built anyone up. I didn't say like, I told them a little bit about each wrestler as the matches were going on, because I wasn't able to get them the seats next to me because those were sold, but I got them the seats right behind me. So I was able to be like, okay, so this person and that person, these are their names, and give them a little bit like, and, Mei Suruga they loved. And actually Gaia, my other friend. So I mentioned Gaia. I was like, oh yeah, Gaia is really good. He's really athletic. You'll probably like him. And that's all I said. I didn't speak him up any more than that. Just like, he's really athletic. He'll probably impress you guys. And Gaia was the other one that really stood out, to my one friend that hadn't watched anything but WWE since he was a kid. I definitely saw them in hysterics over like the first match was Antonio Honda match. And they
what an introduction after just WWE going WWE going Tony Honda,
dude. I was like, So the first, I was like, there's gonna be a lot of comedy. Just keep an open mind. You know what I mean? And just enjoy it for what it is. It's gonna probably be very different than anything you've seen. They were in absolute stitches over Antonio Honda. Like they couldn't believe this. Like they were just like, you know, I check back every now and again, and I mean, they were just recording so many things and taking pictures and just like, I could just hear them laughing and like having the time of their life. And from the opening match, you know, which was the pace set by that large group tag match with like Black Komenichi, and you had Sayaka in there. Like it was just a great opening. And I always say that the Gata Move has those first matches that really sets the kind of bar for the show and gets you that Gata Move feeling. And from there on, you're in a great mood for the rest of the show. But yeah, so it was good to see. It was kind of fun to kind of pick their brain and see what stood out to them.
That's one of my favorite things, if you introduce someone to wrestling afterwards and just kind of see, because we come into wrestling and we have certain biases, but we also, because we're a little bit, not to sound sophisticated, we understand the business a little bit more. So we're looking for certain things. But if you bring someone in who isn't wrestling savvy necessarily, or they only really know WWE, and sort of seeing how they react and respond to stuff that's going on, it's always fascinating, because it gives you appreciation for what actually breaks through the barrier and what works. And, you know, for someone like Mei Suruga, we can sit here and think, oh yeah, I would expect her to stand out in that way. But then you get the affirmation of people coming in with no experience, no real understanding, and that's what stands out to them. And then Antonio Honda really is just the piece de resistance on all of that as well, sort of the cherry on top of it all. This is obviously, we're talking about to the future show now. When you are listening to this episode, if you jump on straight away, if you're a Patreon, it will not have come out yet. It comes out this weekend. I believe it's releasing on the 20th of January. So you may have caught this before you're listening. You may have not. Hopefully you enjoy the show. Definitely check out the main event, obviously, for what's being said. Also, like I've heard really fun things about the Mia Amasaki versus Mei Suruga match. Obviously, there was a special guest second for this show, Azumi, who is a part of Amasaki's faction in Stardom Queen's Quest. You would think that Amasaki would be the person that she's there to support. But if you follow Azumi and Choco Pro at all, you will also know they are basically inseparable, her and Mei Suruga, which just makes for the best opportunities.
Yeah, I want to talk more about that match. I want to go into more details and some of the fun stuff and some of the fun interactions between Azumi and, AZM and Mei and Miyu. I mean, Kevin. I don't want to spoil anything. You know what I mean? I don't want to spoil anything because I want people to be able to enjoy it. Because, like, of course, they're familiar. I think, you know, people have seen some of the stuff going around with, like, the cute off and things like that.
The cute off has done a lot of online already.
Yeah, that's so I think that's okay to talk about. But maybe like, some other parts of that where Azumi was involved. I don't want to say anything. I'll let people, who knows what will happen in that match. Yeah. You know, I'll leave it at that. I don't want to say, like, one way or another. But you know, there were some other things and some funny stuff. I'm wondering if it's going to be on if it's caught on the camera or not. Actually, there might be. So I would say I guess if I could say without much, maybe I'll say the entrances were fun, for those two. And thinking about what's Azumi going to do on that part, you know what I mean? Who's she going to come out with or how's that going to work? That was really fun. And I'm hoping that the cameras caught or catch what we got in the live audience experience, which was quite funny and clever. But yeah, throughout, it was seeing Azumi in that being kind of stuck between her two loves, if you will, or her love of Mei versus her Kohai, her stable mate and junior of Miyu. Mm. And I think we all know how the great cute off ended up.
Yes. Yeah, Azumi was not an impartial judge in that situation. We know how much of a fangirl she is for Mei Suruga. She got checkies with her and bought them.
Interestingly enough,
he's a paid checkie.
I can tell you, honestly, she was she bought a checkie ticket and properly was in line with all the regular fans to get her photo with Mei. And it's funny because, like, I went over to say goodbye to Shibayama-san at the time because I had to head out and to bring some folks over to Ebisco and things like that. So I was saying goodbye to Shibayama-san, and he was in line, just actually literally a few spaces behind Azumi. And I was like, oh, and by the way, and so when I was there, I was like, oh, Azumi-san, and she was in line. And I saw, like, somebody had taken a picture of her in line, and actually, so I was like, oh, I should ask. I realized it was her manager that took the picture or her someone with her, it was like clearly like a Stardom person that was with her. But I didn't realize at the time. I said, oh, maybe it's another Japanese fan. So I said, oh, Azumi-san, shashin o negai shimasu. And she was, oh, daijoubu. And so she said, and she was okay with it. Cause I thought it's so funny that she's standing in line waiting for a checkie and she has her little checkie ticket and everything. So I was, I can't hurt to ask, you know what I mean? Yeah. Always ask. Don't just take photos, ask. And I said, oh, is it okay? And she said, I was like, is it okay if I take your photo? And she said, oh, yeah, of course, please. And it's fine. And then she posed for me and I took a photo. And then there was like, and of course, Up Up Boy was there. And like, hey. And so he asked, so he got a photo. And she said, oh, yeah. So like multiple people after I asked. And so there's a few of us that got nice photos of that, which was quite fun. Yeah, she was properly in line. It was just a great positive show. Like it was really cool because like going into that show, I think for a lot of people, it was kind of a bit of a down feeling. You know, we had all these injuries coming into it. You know, Mei was sick. Mune was off the show. He's sick. Mm-hmm. And Mune was, a lot of people were looking forward to Mune because Mune's great. Like that whole story of CDK versus Mune and Gaia was kind of like the pupils versus the teachers almost in a way, you know, because like Chris and Masa are both much more senior than Gaia and Mune. And both are quite well connected, with Mune and Gaia. You know, Mune originally was a fan of Chris, before he started wrestling. You know, he went from fan of Chris in line buying Chris's t-shirt and taking selfies together with that, to wrestling against Chris in the main event of Baka Gaijin and now on Gato Move. And of course, Mune and Masa had a really big, when Mune came into Ichigaya and Gato Move and Chaco Pro, a lot of it was really tied in with Masa kind of being this kind of like gatekeeper, and kind of like Mune has to kind of get past Masa type of thing. So and then Gaia is also very well, very familiar with Chris and very good connection with Chris as well. Actually, it's interesting. So Chris Brooks has a certain necklace. Chris will know which one I'm talking about. And it's funny because it's, you know, we joke around about the necklace a bit. But Gaia, well, actually, he had the that necklace may have broken at Mao's hardcore show the other, or not at the show, but in the post-show silliness, Chris's necklace may have broken. But I think he's probably getting it fixed. But Gaia has the exact same necklace, and it was completely like not planned. It was like just coincidental, actually. Like they had both kind of ordered it online, and they both end up having it. It's like, what the heck? We have the same. So it's kind of like a funny little connection between them two as well. But yeah, so but I mean, you know, so we had this bit of a like, man, and then Chris had his health stuff, and people are really worried about Chris, and like people are worried about people's health in general. And so they were in like, you know, we had missed matches, and you know, it was like, man, is this only going to be a 4-match card? Oh man. And of course we still, you know, the Gato Move is going to do their best and put on a great show, but like for some way, somehow, literally they just blow everyone's expectations out of the water and put on an amazing, amazing show with amazing matches. And somehow things work out and we're able to get the May versus Mia match. Still, the main event turns into just like this, you know, I'm not going to say it was better than what we probably could have had with Mia versus Emmy, but I'll tell you what, it was a really good match and outstanding. You know, that was the, you know, it's something totally different than what we would have had. You know, I'm sure the I'm sure the Bali and Aki match would have been great. I'm sure the Emmy match would have been great. Somehow the amalgamation of those two together turned into something totally different, but just as great. You know what I mean? So like, yeah, it's just awesome to see them recover from it. And this feeling after the show, it doesn't feel so sad. It doesn't feel so questionable. You know, there, we now have, you know, the guys, the Gato Move team going into a bit of an excursion. So the rest of this month is going to be pretty quiet on the Ichigaya front, but it's exciting. I feel excited for the, you know, Emmy, May and Aki to do their bit of a trip. I think it's a great rest for Chie and Mia and Obi and Sayaka, who is putting extra work in throughout the holidays. And I have a real positive feeling moving forward for February and beyond.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those situations where with the accumulation of injuries they were getting, things could have been a lot worse than it ended up being. They ended up putting, from the reports you're giving, what other people have said, sounds like it was a fantastic show. They were able to rebound really well. They handled the Mia Yotsuba injury really well, and thankfully that doesn't seem to be as bad as it maybe could have been or first thought to be. The Chris Brooks health scare situation, that could have been a lot worse than it seems like it ended up being, and he's already plan to be back in the ring, and so he's not really missing a whole lot of time. Chair's injury, obviously, still a long-term thing, but it seems to all the reports that she's giving on and sort of passing through on Twitter, sounds like the recovery process, she's getting frustrated, but the doctors are very happy with her progress. So considering everything that's happened, and as a Joshi fan, 2023 was just rife with injury after injury after injury, and it sort of hit the Gato Move crew, but it seems like all things considered, they're doing fantastic. And now, yeah, you've got Aki, Emmy and May in India as of recording right now. They're going to the Taj Mahal, which is just really cool. Not a wrestling excursion as such, but I think they're hoping to maybe lay some foundations and knowing Gato Move maybe going to the subcontinent at some point.
Well, knowing Emmy, you know, I don't know her well, but I do know enough about her, and especially with talking with everybody else, I have Emmy's the type, from what I understand, that is like always thinking about that.
Yeah.
Like no matter what she's doing, where she's going, even on vacation, you know, she's got something in mind. She's thinking about that stuff, like wrestling stuff, you know, like, yeah. So I'm pretty sure if they have the opportunity, they're going to try to catch some wrestling, maybe go to some shows or meet some people. You know, Emmy basically is always kind of thinking about that. She has that type of mindset, which is why obviously she's been so successful for decades in wrestling. Sure. You know, so I can't imagine they're going to go to India and not at least connect with wrestling at some point, somehow, some way. But I do know, you know, Aki made it clear their main goal was to go see the Taj Mahal on a limited, because they didn't have much time in India. And I saw
Emmy's going to be at the Taj Mahal. We can chuck a mat down here. We can put a show on at Taj Mahal.
Oh my God, right? Could you imagine? The funny thing was, like, the day of, like, I remember May's first social media post. It was basically like, if you scroll through, like, on her Instagram, it's like, okay, here's a post. And it's like, oh, it's got like six or seven little images or little video clips. Every single one of them is her drinking some other random hot beverage. It's like the first one, drinking a hot beverage. You go to the next one, drinking another hot beverage. Or the next one, drinking another hot beverage. How cold were you, girl?
She was
bundled up in a hot beverage in hand, like every single post.
Apparently it's very cold of an evening over there. She compared it.
It's the same thing like when I was in the desert, when I was in the war in Iraq. Like, it could be hot comparatively, but it's the change in temperature from day to night. You know, so even if at nighttime it's like, oh, it's 60 degrees Fahrenheit, which is not that cold. But if the daytime was like 99 degrees Fahrenheit, that 60 degrees is going to feel cold as hell. You know, it's that massive shift from day to night where night's going to feel really cold.
Hopefully they have a good time over there. I'm sure they will, you know, getting to see one of the great countries of the world with so many great sites. There's a couple of little final bits of news and stuff we want to cover before we bring this episode to a close. One of them, I think most people are going to be aware of. Another part some people won't be aware of. The one that everyone will be kind of aware of, but it's very exciting, is this August, Gatto Move are going to be running Curriken Hall, which is, I know, something they've been wanting to do for a while. They've been planning and hoping to do. They've announced it this August. So if you are interested in seeing probably the biggest Gatto Move show yet, head over there during the summer. There's going to be plenty of other wrestling on because that is peak tournament season in Japan. TJPW will probably be running their show, tournament. Stardom will be running the 5-star. New Japan will be running the G1. Noah will be running the N1. But more importantly, you can go check out Curriken Hall Gatto Move. Just quickly, what any kind of predictions or hopes for this show? What would you like to see? Because they're going to go all out. You know that. All
right. So it's not until August, right? So we've got quite a ways away. So we're talking like 6 months away from now, right? Mm-hmm. So for me, well, obviously there was a bit of a tease dropped during the last show on the 10th, after the match. You know, May kind of basically made a bit of a, I think it's already out there, so maybe I could talk about it.
Yeah, talk about it.
But May kind of put a bit of a challenge out to Izumi. And it looked like May was kind of basically pointing at Izumi and Miyu. And like, I want you guys, like, so like basically May and X versus Miyu and Izumi is what it looked like May basically put the challenge to. Mm. And at the time of the challenge, when May was doing it, so Chie happened to be just on the outside of the ring in front of me, like, you know, seated on the ground, like in front of me was Chie. And Chie, by the way, is insane. Like, throughout the entire Gatto Move show, Chie, with arm in cast, is running around collecting all the belts from the different competitors and the jackets. And, like, I'm like, what the hell, Chie? She's literally, like, carrying out. She's got only one good arm, yet she's got three championship belts, the jackets, and she's, like, you know, because you can't just walk casually. So she's, like, trying to do this, like, hunched over walk, carrying all this. I'm like, what the hell are you doing? I'm like, it's ridiculous. Like, girl, freaking relax. Let somebody else do that. Like, but no. Chie gonna Chie, and she's like, man, raring, she's ready to go. And like when May announced that, you know, she looked over at Chie, and Chie with her one good arm did her little, like, you know, like yeah kind of thing that she's been doing, like kind of her up and down arm motion. So I think my hope is I would love to see May and Chie versus Izumi and Miyu. That would be, If I can get anything, and of course, I'd like to see, well, you know, I'd like to see Mia versus Emmy earlier before that. But yeah, I'd like to see May and Shea versus Miyu and Izumi. That would be my dream match. If there's some reason with Stardom, they can't get Izumi on the card, I guess my next, and there's not something like that, I'd like to see, I'd like to see Mei Suruga versus Emi Sakura with Mei winning the Brazier belt.
Yeah. That's sort of what I'm leaning towards. Like, I'd love to see Mei versus one of the Stardom crew. And I think it's very possible. Like, the main concern is it's probably going to be during the 5-star Grand Prix tournament, which is when Stardom's just super busy with other stuff. Mm. However, like, Rossi and Emi Sakura are, I don't want to say
Rossi was at the Gata Move show. So yeah,
he was at that show. And like,
he's done interviews on Choco Pro before as well. Mm.
So I expect like that connection there, obviously, it's quite strong. They're both very much veterans of the industry. I would expect Rossi to want to help out Emi with this August Choco Pro show.
Yeah. The other thought is, if for some reason, so this just jumped in my mind as well. So speaking of that, with the 5-star, you're right. Like, it's probably going to be tough depending on the timing, although they already have the date and the time of the show. So they already know when their schedule is. So, you know, it's easy to plan around. You know, they already have it 6 months out. They know the date. They know the time of the show, everything. It's like 11:30 a.m. or 10:30 a.m. I don't remember exactly. But they have, I think it's August 21st. I don't remember. But it's on the, so if anyone wants planning, this would be also, if you're a Choco Pro Gato Move fan and you're planning on thinking of coming to Japan, you know, the two times to go are either the December, January timeframe for that Wrestling Insanity. I would say the another time to look at, you know, you got 6 months out. We're 6 months away. Gato Move never gives that much. They rarely give you that much heads up.
Yeah.
The reason they're doing that is they'd love to see, and they've put a pitch out there. You know, Gato Move and Choco Pro really has a very large international fan base. They really rely on the international fan base. Now, most of us international fans don't have the money to travel to Japan.
Yeah.
But if you do, and it's something you're thinking about, I'll tell you what, this would be the time to go. Korakuen Hall is a huge venue. They have a lot of space. You know, they're not going to sell out Korakuen Hall. I mean, if they did, that would be, oh my God, that would be amazing. But they're not going to sell out Korakuen Hall. So what we could do is we could do our best to try to get them as close to possible. And let's say F it, they are going to sell out Korakuen Hall, because all the international Choco Pro fans, we're going to all converge on Tokyo.
Inagi was able to sell out Korakuen Hall.
What's that?
Inagi Sayaka was able to sell out Korakuen Hall.
She was. So, well, Inagi Sayaka, it was not just Inagi Sayaka. It was Inagi Sayaka and All Japan Wrestling. So that show,
she was wrestling like four matches.
She was wrestling four matches, but it was a jointly produced show with All Japan Pro Wrestling, and All Japan supported her very heavily. And she had a lot of legends on that show as well. Not to take anything away from her. I'm not trying to take anything away from her at all. She did an amazing job putting that show together. She had great talent signed up for the show. I know a lot. I didn't go to that show personally because I just had too much going on. But I know a lot of people that did go to that show. And I'm super happy. Like, it is a statement that she sold out Korakuen Hall. Like, that was insane. Like, it's amazing. Absolutely amazing what she was able to do. DDT sold out Korakuen Hall they've got a show coming up in February. They sold out Korakuen Hall instantly.
Of course,
there's a Japanese celebrity on that show as well. But they're talking about trying to figure out some way to open up more seats. Wow. Will they open up the balcony? It used to be years and years and years ago, the first time I ever went to Korakuen Hall, there used to be what's called balcony standing. But they haven't had balcony standing in a long time. And I love balcony standing. You're up there on the balcony, and if you can get that like right up against the ledge, man, it's great. You're just kind of hanging out there. Now the only people up there are like other wrestlers and things like that. They'll like kind of be up there watching secretly. But I love balcony standing. So like, I would love to see Gato Move sell it out. I mean, it would be, I have a feeling all of the Choco Pro regular fans are going to absolutely go. I'm hoping the wider fan, Gato Move has a lot of network. I hope that all their network, I imagine this show is going to be one to see.
I expect them to add all the stocks. Yeah, I think Emi Sakura has built up a lot of contacts over the years. She's going to be pulling on each and every one. So if there's someone within the wider Emi Sakura verse, do you think, oh, that'd be cool if they were on the Kirk and Hall show? I think they probably will be.
Yeah, it probably will be. Absolutely. I mean, I imagine Riho will probably, if there's a way, depending on her AEW schedule, I imagine we might see Riho back. Speaking of which, we talked about the Gato Move show. We didn't even mention that. Riho's triumphant return to Gato Move.
Yep.
And sadly, Hagane, well, one of Hagane's last show. I believe that was Hagane's last show for a little bit. We don't know when Hagane may return back. You know, Hagane may retire. We don't know. But Hagane is stepping back from wrestling for a little bit for some personal time. So hopefully Hagane will, I definitely want to mention that. All the best to Hagane and all the appreciation to everything Hagane has done with Ichigaya and Gato Move and Choco Pro over the years. And, so I'm hoping to see him back. But if not, I'm very grateful for all the wonderful matches that I've been able to see of his. So Hagane had a great show. Hagane and Riho put on a great match with Obi and Kurumi. Awesome match. That was really, really fun as well. Speaking of which, yeah, Riho was on the show and Mei Suruga stood out more to my friends. Even my one friend who knew Riho, he still was like, Mei Suruga.
So obviously,
I appreciated Riho as well. Riho was awesome. Yeah. But
yeah, well, one's a little bit of information that I wasn't super aware of, but you've sort of told me some stuff that's going on and you're willing to share with us. What's this about the Darajo project that's been happening?
Oh, yeah, Darajo. Yeah, speaking of Gato Move and you know, the injuries and, you know, talking about like how they're kind of going through it and what they're doing to come out of those injuries and spin it positively and really the Darajo project is doing wonderfully right now. Emi Sakura even started over these I don't know how long she'll be here before she goes back to AEW again, but at least for January and maybe into February, she might still be around. Obviously she just left the country for the India and Thailand. Yeah. But I think she may be back after that. I don't know, but she had during January, especially she had some special. So not only was there regular Darajo, there was also Emi Sakura special, kind of more, individualized training, and it was focused on if you're interested in debuting, possibly like more like you really want to try to do the debut and you want to really have a focused thing and a kind of more sped up thing with a small class or even one-on-one type training. And so Darajo, so actually it's very funny because now about five of my friends here in Japan, five of the girls that I know here are now Darajo members. Like over the last couple weeks they've joined. It's really funny because it's like they all, well, so they're friends of mine, but they also happen to be Chris Brooks fans. So it's really funny. So like a couple of my friends, I guess I can say names because they all wear name tapes during Darajo anyway, so you can see their name anyway. So a good group of my friends are all at Darajo now, including, let's see, so one, two, I think three of them are also doing, so five of them doing the regular Darajo, like Darajo Kids and Darajo with Mei and Emi, and they're loving it. They're absolutely loving it. And then three of them, I think, did the Emi special lessons as well. So a couple of them are doing the Emi special lessons. So possibly with the hopes of debuting. So that's pretty cool. So I'm really hopeful for that. I know all five of them are really cool. And I think they're huge fans of DDT. So I'm loving this DDT crossover because it's like, it's like super into Chris Brooks. And it's so funny because that Dropkick, I remember for Chris's bartending event on the 11th, there was like a Darajo the next day on the 12th. And so I was there and Chris was there and three of these five were there. And, you know, it was like myself, one sitting across from me, one sitting next to me, another was sitting next to her. So it was like two of them, me and the other one. And then Chris was of course, floating because he is working. But, you know, Chris would obviously join us as well. But basically it was like, and it's so funny because like also four out of the five were part of my crew for Mal's hardcore show. So I took like a crew. I was like, all right. So I was joking with Mal and I was like, oh, I'll try to bring some folks to the hardcore show. And so I kind of had a team Jeff at team five Jeff because all the tickets were in my name. So, and I was not sure if everybody's joining together. So Mal was like, oh yeah, they could just all say Jeff. So I was like, yeah, just... Yep. We're all Jeff for that show. So it was Team Jeff. So four out of the five Darejo members, new members, also were Team Jeff going to Mal's hardcore show the other day. So like I've thoroughly turned these, and they're always been DDT fans and Chris fans, but somehow I've been able to take that friendship and make them into Choco Pro Darejo fans and bring them to Mal's hardcore show and like, just trying to really build. And so like the community aspect's really cool. But yeah, so it's really exciting. I'd love to see a couple of them debut, and some of them I can imagine like knowing them. I think there's two or three of them, like three of them that I can definitely see Emi Sakura being like, yes, you should debut because they have a good look or, you know, they have height or they're just super like motivated into it. Mm-hmm. Like, so I can actually see several of them being possible future members of Ichigaya of Choco Pro, fingers crossed, hopefully. So
we should look exciting. At Team Jeff in 2024.
Yeah.
The square.
Yeah. It's going to be great. I'll tell you what, I am looking forward to it. It's going to be, that's my goal is and I know a couple more. There's a couple other, I know one or two other folks of Japanese fan, women fans of wrestling. There's one or two more that I'm like, really trying to like, hey, you should try Darejo out because I think genuinely all I do is I'm like, hey, it's pretty cool. You should try it out. You might enjoy it. I think it's really interesting. Like, I think it's cool. And then, you know, it's just that little extra push. They're already wrestling fans. And it's like, you know, you love wrestling. And if you want to try it out, Darejo is the perfect safe chance to do that, you know? So all it really took was just that little extra, yeah, you should give it a try. But at the Chris event, it was so funny because like I'm sitting here, I'm sitting on the right, then we got two of them sitting next to me. Well, I can say their names because they're race, but my friend Sae and my friend Rena. So Rena and Sae are sitting there, and Chris was on the other side, and I'm like, yeah, you guys should go, and I'm encouraging. So Rena and my other friend Takanashi, again, because she wears her name tab, so it's okay to mention her name. They were definitely going to Darejo the next day, and they're both going to Sakura's special lesson as well. But Sai, she had been to the previous Darejo and the next one before that, but she wasn't able to make the next one because she had work stuff. So she wasn't able to make it. But it was funny. So you basically had me on one side and Chris on the other side. We're both like, yeah, you should keep doing Darejo. Do your best, Gamate. You should go. Come on. No, don't make excuse. You have to keep going. You had fun, right? And like, it's so funny as Chris and I are both kind of like positive reinforcement, gently pressuring them to continue the Darejo project. A little bit cheating, but you know, hey, we got to do what we got to do. But no, so it's really exciting. And I think it's great to see the Darejo really growing this year. Mm. In 2023, May put in a lot of work, especially to try and grow Darejo. And it's been continuing to grow and grow and grow and grow and grow. And I think they now have, you know, in this new crop, there's some prospects, you know, people that, you know, I don't want to sound rude, but, you know, like wrestling, if you're younger or if you're, you know, it's better, you know, if you're coming into it and you're in your 20s, it's a lot better than if you're coming into it in your 40s. Of course, you can still come into it in your 40s with Darejo. That's the beauty of it. But I think long-term, it's great to see some of these people in their 20s and they've got a girl that's like 16 that goes regularly. You know, these are people that could really debut and be future Mei Tsurugas. You know what I mean? So it's great to see.
So yeah, Darejo Project sounds like some big things are happening. Maybe look for some future debutants all wearing Team Jeff on their
No.
That's the expectation that are all
going to be. I love it. Emmy would never. I bet if Emmy found out, wait, you guys are all friends with Jeff? Get out of here. You're all kicked out.
you get to come in as their manager. You'll be the Ted DiBiase.
Maybe Emmy will finally like me for once.
But no. So that is going to bring pretty much this episode to a close. But before we do that, as is tradition, we've got to give our snackers moment of the month. Hopefully in 2024, we will get an actual sponsor, but we will see. Jeff, what is your snackers moment of the month?
All right. So my thing is kind of tailing off of what I just said is, you know, for me, it was the feeling of, especially for me, I would say, okay, for me, Chris's recovery is definitely my best happy. So it's Choco Pro adjacent, right? But like, and not to get behind the curtains too much, but, it just so happened that myself and Chris both happened to have health kind of issues going on at the same time. And so it was really cool to be able to connect with him, and we kind of could talk about it a bit. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to get into the specifics of either of our health things, but, you know, DDT shared what they've shared about Chris's thing. So I'll just leave it at that. But I will say this is it was great to see Chris's recovery, and I'm really super excited for him, and I'm super happy for him. And I think Chris's recovery and Chris going through that struggle, that health stuff in the end of last year, and seeing how he's gone through it and is going into 2024 with kind of this fresh, renewed mindset and like ready to tackle 2024, I think mirrors Gato move with the overall kind of, man, we were going in with these kind of injuries and like some struggles going into that show, but watching them power through it and have this bright feeling as well. So those two things of like, to me, it's myself creating this connection between those two, but in my mind, those are obviously, there's a connection there. Mm-hmm. And I love seeing this feeling of brightness in the future. And I really love that. So for me, the moment of the month is taking difficult situations and making the best of them and coming out of them stronger than you were going into them, which is how I feel Gato move, as well as Chris is doing. And so I'd like that to be a great kind of mantra for the new year. And I hope that we can all have a similar mindset and kind of go into the new year with a feeling of hope and motivation, even if we've had difficult times. That's my moment of the month.
Well, I'm going to feel like a shallow bitch in comparison, because mine isn't some motivational tool. It's not going to inspire people. Mine is Miyu Amasaki and Mei Suruga doing their cute off and forcing Azumi to make a judgment call over who is cuter. Now, I haven't seen the show, but that is something that like a lot of people who went to have shared that on Twitter. And every angle I've seen of that looks hilarious. And I cannot wait to get the full context. But even just what I've seen, that stands out as my moment of the month. A little bit less inspiring unless you are inspired by cuteness, which a lot of people are. But that will bring the first episode of 2024 to a close. We're looking forward to bringing you more episodes throughout the year, more exciting things. We will see what happens. But to keep up with everything going on, you need to be able to follow us. So obviously follow us at WrestleIn if you're not already. You know all the podcasts that's going on. You know our Patreon, patreon.com/WrestleIn. Check all that stuff out. Give us money so that Jeff can afford to go to Mexico. But if you want to personally tell Jeff to go to Mexico and where in Mexico to go to, how can they do that?
They can't, because I need my privacy. He needs to get a secret. No, look for me on Twitter or Instagram. I'm very clever and smart, so my usernames are my legit shoot real name. Yes, because I have no creativity. So it's just at Jeff Mazziotta, JeffMazziotta. That's my Twitter and my Instagram and my Facebook and my birth certificate. And so please don't steal my identity. you can look for me there. I don't think it's very entertaining, but if you want to shoot me a message, if anyone ever has a question about Japan, it doesn't have to be wrestling related, just like, hey, I'm curious about Tokyo, shoot me a message. I'm thinking about working in Tokyo, got any advice, shoot me a message. I'm happy to give you a perspective. But yeah, hit me up on that, and hope everyone has a beautiful day. Or you could follow Trent, who's going to be much more interesting. What's your socials, Trent?
Oh, you don't know it off my heart. I'm offended. No.
I know it. I was letting you say it. You can follow Trent at One Up Culture.
There we go.
He is the best. You can also see his work on Wrestle In and a variety of other publications over the last few years. He is an amazing writer. So go check out his Twitter if you actually want to see something of value in the wrestling space, because he creates a lot of things of value, whether it's his numerous podcasts that he does, whether it's the articles that he writes. He is actually someone interesting to follow where you can learn something. I am a complete waste of your time, so don't bother.
I can't wait for all the people to add me on Twitter and then look at the stuff I ramble on about and go, oh, Jeff talked him up a little bit, didn't he? But thank you very much, Jeff. And thank you all to all of our fans. Be sure to keep following us. We'll keep you up to date with everything in the world of Choco Pro and Gatto Move. And we can't wait to see from you next time. I don't remember how I normally end this, so I'm just going to say sayonara.